Good morning, everyone. I would like to welcome you to our Q2 2025 earnings call. Our CEO, Kruno Crepulja, and our CFO, David Dreyfus, will walk you through our presentation and give you an update on our current business performance. As usual, this will be followed by a Q&A session. With this, I would like to hand over directly to Kruno.
Yeah, thank you, Burkhard. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our Q2 earnings call. In an overall macro environment that continues to be affected by numerous uncertainties, we are pleased to have achieved a very solid set of half-year results. We continue to see very robust demand in retail sales, which has exceeded our own expectations. While we had no retail starts in 2024, we decided to start the sales process of four new projects during the first 6 months of this year. All of them have been very well received by the market, with strong momentum. These new projects are ideally tailored to the tax incentive scheme of the Growth Opportunities Act, which allows highly attractive post-tax returns for buy-to-let investors. Accordingly, the trend that private investors have become the most important buyer group was again confirmed in the second quarter. Moreover, we are also witnessing rising demand from owner-occupiers. All in all, we saw an accelerated sales growth in retail sales in the second quarter, with a sales growth rate in the first 6 months of 58% compared to H1 2024. Sales starts are an important sales growth driver. Following the sales start of four projects in the first 6 months, we are planning five further sales starts, focusing on retail sales by the end of this year. We clearly expect this to generate additional positive sales momentum in the coming months. It is still quite apparent that the institutional investment market remains more challenging. Our institutional sales for 2025 are geared towards the second half of the year and especially towards Q4 as planned. Against this backdrop, we are glad that we were able to sign our first institutional deal just after the reporting date in July. We sold a medium-sized sub-project of a larger project in the top 7 German metropolitan region. The terms were fully in line with our expectations. I think this was really a good result. We also view this as an encouraging signal that the institutional market is continuing its gradual recovery. The interest from investors is rising, and we are in talks for several other deals. In our last calls, we emphasized that the market environment for project acquisition is making a turn for the better. While we were still very selective last year, partly due to a lack of attractive opportunities, we are now seeing a significantly greater supply of attractive growth opportunities. Accordingly, and in line with our communicated strategy, we are now increasing our investments in our land bank. Currently, we have 5 deals either just signed or very close to signing, with a total GDV of around 350 million euros. We expect above average margins and IRRs on our acquisitions. We are taking advantage of the current window of opportunity, and there's more to come. At this point, I think it is also worth mentioning that you can expect continuity and stability at board level of Instone in the years ahead. The supervisory board has extended the contract of my colleague Andreas Graef until end of 2027, and I will also stay on the board for the coming years, which I'm convinced will be a very promising phase for the company. My new contract will run until mid-2029. Let's now take a brief look at our financial KPIs for the first half of 2025. We reached adjusted revenues of 231 million euros, fully in line with our expectations. We expect a stronger second half, also due to the revenue contribution from the upcoming sales starts of additional projects focused on buy-to-let investors, the signing of institutional deals, and a generally stronger sales seasonality. Our gross margin stayed at a high level of 25.3%. It is once again a strong indicator of our operational excellence. However, in line with our planning, we still expect a slightly lower margin in the second half of the year. Our adjusted earnings after tax amounted to 17.2 million euros, which also shows that we are fully on track for our full-year financial target. Including the seasonally weaker first quarter, our H1 sales reached 96.3 million euros. The year-on-year comparison is distorted by an institutional deal in the first quarter of the previous year. As pointed out, the underlying demand indicators currently look clearly positive, with dynamic growth in the retail business. With the contribution of the institutional deal just signed in July, we can expect to see a significant positive year-on-year sales growth in H2. On the basis of the very solid H1 results and the current demand indicators, we are also confirming our outlook for the full year 2025. We expect revenue in the range of 500 million-600 million euros, a very healthy gross margin of around 23%, and adjusted earnings after taxes in the ballpark of 25 million-35 million euros. Our sales target also remains unchanged at more than 500 million euros. Moving on to slide four in our presentation. Our sales ratio on the upper chart illustrates our sound sales performance of our retail business. There are usually certain spikes at sales starts and subsequent temporary slowdowns, but the chart clearly demonstrates the underlying upward trajectory of our B2C sales. In the first 6 months, our retail sales climbed by 58% compared to the previous year, which reflects a further growth acceleration in the second quarter. Our sales ratio currently stands above the long-term mean. A key driver for this positive development was, as mentioned, our additional product we offer to the market with our sales starts. The projects were well received by the market. As mentioned, these projects are ideally tailored to the attractive tax incentive scheme for new builds, which represent a very powerful demand factor. There is a pipeline of five additional planned sales starts in the second half of the year by to-let investors, which promise additional growth acceleration in our private customer business. General investor sentiment has improved. The rising awareness that German residential prices have bottomed out and that we are entering a new upward cycle with support from dynamic rent growth, especially for new builds, is also a very important reason for this. This top-down view is also shared by institutional investors, even though this customer segment is still lagging behind in the recovery process. There is still a greater reluctance to buy among this group of buyers. Against this backdrop, we are, of course, very pleased that we were able to sign our first deal year to date already at the beginning of the second half of this year. I also believe that it provides a really encouraging signal regarding our full-year sales targets. The institutional business is, as you know, always seasonally quite back-end loaded, but we can confirm that we are in concrete and promising discussions for several further institutional transactions. On the following slide, number five, we provide an overview of the sales starts year to date with their current status. As already highlighted in our last call, we have seen an especially strong sales performance of our project in Duisburg at an attractive micro-location close to the border of Düsseldorf. We have already sold almost 60% of the first of two sub-projects just within a couple of months. Our group subsidiary Nyoo, with its innovative product that is based on digital and modular planning, is responsible for this project. With our new concept, we can offer apartments at a highly competitive price point of around 5,000 euros per square meter, which contributes to the attractiveness of this innovative product. We have already started construction work and therefore also generate revenues ahead of schedule. We are selling the Lahnwarte project in Frankfurt predominantly with our internal sales resources. With the current sales speed, we are well on track for the expected construction start in the fourth quarter. For the project Gefilde near Stuttgart, we started the sales process in June after receiving final building permits. We have already seen a very decent number of sales and significant backlog of notary appointments and reservations. Here, we are also confident that we can start construction this year. The fourth project in Hofheim near Frankfurt has been contributing to our sales since July, and also here we are seeing good momentum. Due to a higher share of apartments, which are more tailored to the demand of owner-occupiers, we anticipated a somewhat lower sales speed for this project. However, we have already collected a decent number of reservations, which makes us confident for this project as well. Again, all of these projects benefit from both the 5% degressive depreciation in combination with the 5% special depreciation over 4 years for energy-efficient buildings. On the following slides, 6 and 7, with an overview of relevant market indicators for our business. Despite the larger macro uncertainties, prices for new builds in the top 7 cities continued their upward trend, albeit at a still moderate pace. The rising scarcity of residential space in the metropolitan areas, which is also reflected in sustained dynamic rent growth, is a key driver for this. This is especially true for highly energy-efficient, good quality new build. The rent development in top cities based on the data from Bulwiengesa is shown on the lower chart on this slide. Rising yields from rental growth were a crucial factor for stabilization of prices after the rate shock experienced during the past years. Rents for new builds are still outpacing price development and inflation. Therefore, rising yields are making the product even more attractive, and thus demand for new builds should broaden. Over to slide 7, which illustrates construction price inflation over time. The most recent data from the Federal Statistics Office confirm a stable trend over the last few quarters with a rather moderate CPI growth. However, I would like to reiterate our statements from the last calls. Based on our on-the-ground experience, the cost price inflation for larger residential projects is lower due to the very favorable competitive situation we are experiencing at the moment. Construction activity for larger residential projects is clearly decreasing. We at Instone are clearly benefiting from this, and not only from a cost perspective. Finally, all of our construction projects are well within budget. Moving on to slide 8. Instone continues to report a very high pre-sales ratio for its projects under construction. This is a key pillar for reducing the operational risk profile and increasing the cash flow visibility. This high pre-sales ratio is an important differentiator compared to our peers. To give you a brief update on this, projects worth €2.5 billion are currently under construction, of which 92% have already been sold. This provides a stable source of future revenues of still some €340 million, as well as for secure future cash flows of some €190 million. Over the past 2 years, we have already generated substantial cash flows from these pre-sold projects under construction, which has led to further strengthening our balance sheet. This now puts us in a position to exploit investment opportunities in a buyer's market for land. As usual, David will elaborate on our balance sheet ratios later in the financial section. We have also done our homework on the approval side during the past years, and we have made good progress in further developing our pipeline, despite the existing bureaucratic hurdles. As soon as the market reopens more broadly, we will be able to accelerate our sales significantly with an existing land bank consisting of projects that have already obtained zoning rights of around €1.7 billion at the end of the second quarter. This does not yet include the progress we have just made on our project in Cologne-Bickendorf, which has a GDV of around €650 million. We are ahead of schedule here. By the way, it can also be said that in general, that municipalities are now taking the issue of housing shortages more seriously and are more forthcoming in discussions with a stable partner as Instone. We discussed in the previous call that we are observing a rising supply of attractive buying opportunities in the market. The land market in Germany needed some time for its price adjustment process after the start of the crisis. In 2024, price expectations of sellers were in general not yet at a level which looked attractive to us. But this has changed. Sellers have become more realistic, although we have to negotiate the deals, which always takes some time. The low competitive pressure on the buyer side for larger projects is creating opportunities. With our strong balance sheet, we are capitalizing on this. We discussed our acquisition pipeline in the past, which is now starting to materialize. Currently, we have five land acquisitions very close to signing. Signing is expected either in the coming days or in the coming weeks. The projects are spread over several metropolitan areas across the country, such as Nuremberg, Stuttgart, and Munich, and the GDV in total is around 350 million euros. Furthermore, we have an extensive acquisition pipeline, also with projects under exclusivity, and therefore you can expect additional land transactions during the coming month. We are focusing on projects with a shorter duration, and therefore such acquisitions should clearly help to strengthen our growth profile in the coming 2 to 3 years. I would now like to hand over to David for the financial section of the presentation.
Thank you, Kruno. Let me now walk you through our H1 2025 financials in a bit more detail, starting with our adjusted results of operations on page 10. Our adjusted revenues are slightly below previous year's level, as expected. This is mainly attributable to the slightly lower construction output and to the revenue contribution from an institutional deal in Q1 of the previous year. We expect higher revenues in H2 with a rising revenue contribution from new sales, including institutional deals. Also, in the private customer business, the seasonality is typically stronger in the second half. Additionally, we can expect a rising impact from our various sales starts and the subsequent start of construction works, which is, as you know, the starting point for revenue recognition in our retail business. We have started construction of our new Duisburg project, and we are on schedule for the construction start of our Lahnwarte project in Frankfurt and Gefilde near Stuttgart. We have continued to produce a very healthy gross margin of 25.3%. Our margin definitely remains in the benchmark in our industry. Our cost discipline and cost leadership with our own construction management and the quality of our projects are important structural drivers for this. It is also worth mentioning that we have evidently applied prudent cost assumptions for our projects in an inflationary environment. We do not have any cost overruns. The projects are well within budget. Nevertheless, we expect a somewhat lower margin in the remainder of the year, in line with our planning. Our platform costs were slightly below previous year's level, despite ongoing cost inflation due to a lower number of FTEs and lower LTI provisions. Further down in the P&L, we saw a further decline in our net interest expenses. This was again largely attributable to the reduction in net debt of some 55 million euros year on year. We expect a slightly higher tax rate in 2025, lower earnings contribution from the Berlin-based at equity joint venture project, which will be completed this year. Accordingly, we reported an adjusted earnings after tax of 17.2 million euros, which, in our view, indicates that we are well on track to reach our full-year earnings target of 25 to 35 million euros. Over to page 11. As a result of the significant cash generation from pre-sold projects over the last years, our financial leverage dropped to a very low level, which gives us ample headroom for growth. Our leverage ratios remained largely unchanged over the quarter, despite the cash outflow for dividends. Our loan-to-cost ratio remained at a very low level of 12% at the end of June, despite the comparatively low earnings level at the current trough of the earnings cycle. Net debt to EBITDA is also only at 2.8 times. In light of our planned growth investments, we expect our leverage ratios to increase over the next 18 months. However, you can rest assured that a strong balance sheet will remain a key cornerstone of our business model. Moving to the next slide. Over the past few years, we were able to demonstrate that our business model enables us to generate very attractive cash flows. While we still expect substantial cash contribution from our pre-sold projects, we are now entering the investment phase. This does not only comprise land investments, but also the typical investments in working capital during the initial construction phase for projects catered to retail. As you know, we start construction after reaching a pre-sales ratio of 30%. Accordingly, the cash flow rises over proportionally with sales progress. We expect that the cash requirements for the initial construction phase will largely offset the cash inflow from pre-sold projects. The strong cash generation of Instone resulted in a liquidity position of more than 270 million euros at the end of the second quarter, and the vast majority is available for land acquisitions. Due to the fact that the debt position contains mainly project-related debt, Instone has a significant net cash position on corporate level of some 130 million euros. In addition, we have access to revolving credit facilities totaling around 130 million euros, increasing our potential for land acquisitions. Chart 13 gives an overview of our financing structure at the end of Q2. There were no major changes during the second quarter worth highlighting. Finally, coming to our outlook on page 14. In light of the very solid H1 results and the positive demand indications, we are also confirming our forecast for the full year 2025. We expect a sales volume of more than 500 million, revenues in the ballpark of 500 to 600 million euros, a sustained high margin of around 23%, and a net result in the range of 25 to 35 million euros. With this, I would like to conclude the presentation and move on to the Q&A session.
We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their telephone. You will hear a tone to confirm that you have entered the queue. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Questioners on the phone are requested to disable the loudspeaker mode while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question comes from the line of André Remke from Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sirs. Thank you for the presentation. A couple of questions, please. Starting with the first on the land plot acquisitions. Could you provide some more details on that? What is the potential cash outflow you have to pay on the mentioned 350 million project volume? What is the status or the average duration to terms and into construction starts, and what could be a magnitude of planned gross margins?
Hi, André. Looking at the projects, we have two already signed. One is will be signed today, and we plan to sign the other two in a couple of weeks. In addition, we have a significant portion of exclusivities where we currently invest a lot of work and plan to finalize those this year. So when you look at one example, I think that's when I take one of the projects we have signed recently, which is, from my perspective, a good example for profitability, etc. So, one moment, I have to go into the numbers. So roughly, you can say the land price is between 10 to 20%, depending on the location. So if you are in a top city, then it's more like 20%. If we are in a suburban area, it's like 10%. The gross margin we are looking at is above 25%. So we have projects where we are reaching quite 2-3 percentage points more. And more important for us when we look at the current environment is what is the IRR we are targeting. And here, you know, our initial target is getting more than 20%, but here the projects we are at a ballpark between 25 to 35%, due to the fact that we are optimizing also, you know, when the land has to be paid, what is the work to be done. We are signing contracts partly where we are generating the building permit and then paying the land, so very late. So here we have the negotiation power to optimize the gross margin and the IRR. Is it sufficient as an answer for you?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And if you take an easy calculation for me as an analyst, 15% on average for the land on 350 million means 50 million. You have to pay. Yeah. But the question is it do you have to pay it right now or only, let's say, in 1 or 2 years? So from cash flow perspective.
Absolutely, André. The payments vary, but typically we have made favorable terms where we don't pay immediately. Some of them we pay beginning of next year. Some of them we pay, you know, during Q4. So we're trying to push out the cash out from those land acquisitions as far as possible. But I would say, you know, within 1 or 2 quarters from the acquisition time. You also asked when those acquisitions, the 350 million that we have mentioned, when they will start the sales or construction period. All those projects are short term, which we target to start the sales process during 26 and construction in 26 or 27.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much for the details. A second question is on the sale. You mentioned the 55 million and you call it medium sized. Is this the kind of size you expect also for the potential deals under negotiations, or in general, what are the deal volumes where the demand is higher from the institutional side, and who are the potential buyers? Are they still the typical buyers or anything worth to mention here? Thank you.
Yeah, so we have, let's say, what we are targeting for the last quarter this year on sales. There are projects a bit smaller than the mentioned one. We have one a bit bigger deal. We are planning, so I think the size between 30 to 80 million is the ballpark, I would say. And the clients are more co-ops than maybe they have been in the past. So we have I think the institutional buyers classically from the past, like pension funds, for example, they are still on the sideline. So we have more interaction with co-ops who have the equity, who need to invest, who are familiar with the regional market. And here we see a very positive traction currently.
Okay, thank you. The last question is on your guidance, on the net income guidance. After the first half, you already achieved, let's say, almost 50% of the upper end of the range. And you are expecting an acceleration of institutional deals in the second half. Shouldn't be the consequence that such deals will contribute strongly also to earnings in the second half? So is it fair to assume that even the upper end of your guidance range seems to be conservative? Or where do you see the risk of this calculation?
So, André, maybe just give you a couple of elements to this. Number one, we have provided the gross margin guidance of 23%. We are currently at 25. So gross margin will come down in the second half of the year. Number two, we will have, we do construction progress, which is a large part of our turnover. Of our revenues, and sales have some impact, a large part also comes from revenues that we generate through construction progress. And number three, I think, sales volumes, as we just mentioned, when we will be able to complete them, during the course of the second half, is also difficult to say. It will most likely be in Q4. And depending on the timing, the amount of revenue recognition also will be different. So I think all those elements make us prudent to make any statement on where we will exactly land in terms of, the 25 to 35 million guidance we have provided.
Maybe one additional comment to that. Maybe you have seen the news flow. We have handed over a lot of projects, a lot of units in the last couple of months, projects which have generated a very high gross margin in the past. And then, of course, the mix currently is changing. We have the projects we are now selling are more like, as we already mentioned, the remaining, portfolio is not at 25%. It's more like, 20 to 22. And this, in combination with the very strong margin project which have been finalized in the mixture, brings you to the 23% of gross margin. I think that's really important. Of course, the new projects gives us additional margin opportunities, but they are not really influencing the gross margin for this year.
And finally, André, one component to add is increasing interest rates, as we mentioned, the construction starts build up of working capital and the acquisitions, we will see that our net debt will increase and therefore interest rate in second half will also go up.
Okay, understood.
Interest cost, sure.
If I may, a very last question, just for the record, on your dividend policy, it was somewhat, disturbed by the last minute action of some of your shareholders to pay more than originally planned. What should we expect going forward in terms of dividend policy? When will you have to do your mind whether you have to revise the existing dividend policy?
I think one point which is important to mention, our big shareholders absolutely supporting our growth strategy. I think that's really important to say. And we have the situation that in last year we have generated significantly more operating cash flow than we have initially planned. So, and then we have always had discussions, with shareholders, the one who said, okay, you can pay out more dividends and you can stick to your growth plan. Others were saying, look, we want the company to invest all the money into growth and and pay no dividends. So there are different, I would say, thinkings about it. From as a management team, I would say that we want to, you know, further accelerate growth. We want to invest, but we also want to pay out dividends. And dependent on how many, let's say, payouts do we have, what is the, you know, overall situation we are facing, then we will discuss this with our key shareholders, and then will we make a decision for the next AGM. Today it's too early to discuss the dividend payment scheme for next year.
Yeah, sure. I had not the expectation that you will give me an answer today, or also in your press release. But in general, of course, this is kind of uncertainty what to expect from you as a company. So is it fair to assume that we only will that you will only provide further information on your general dividend policy at the beginning of next year? Is that right to assume?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at, and there we have also to be very clear. So we have paid out 10 million more, which is not really influencing our growth plan for the company. And also the shareholder, the big shareholder has not asked for the maximum payout. So I think it's, you know, as said, I think it's a discussion we have for years regarding what is the right dividend strategy. And we will take this and discuss it with our big shareholders when we have more clarity regarding our investments we have taken.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you very much. That's from my side.
Thank you, André.
The next question comes from the line of Thomas Neuhold from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for the presentation. Thank you for my questions. Actually, I have two follow-up questions. First, on the institutional business, can you please provide more color on the total number and the total size of projects which are currently under negotiations? And can you maybe also provide some color on the institutional investors who are still not active in the market? What are the key concerns? What are the main topics you're discussing with them? And my second question would be on the potential project acquisitions, which you still plan to do this year. What is approximately the target for additional acquisition in terms of GDV this year? Thank you.
Hi, Thomas. So we have currently four projects in institutional projects where we are discussing with potential buyers, and regards the let's say concerns of the for example pension funds, I think they have a portfolio, and this portfolio in the from the past is more dedicated to commercial investments. And we all know that office developments are not really easy. And the question for them is, of course, they have to refinance it. There's a discussion regarding valuation, etc. So I think there's a portfolio issue for them. When we talk to them, and I'm not now saying corps who are still, let's say, part of our buying group. If I'm talking now about institutional funds or pension funds, they are struggling with their portfolio. They are struggling, of course, a bit with the interest rate still. But from my perspective, if you talk to them, what attracts you in the real estate sector, they clearly say it's resi. They clearly say it's resi in the metropolitan areas. It's new built, but they have the issues to transform the investments they did in the last decade. And this is, from my perspective, one of the main reasons why they are currently in the sideline. And the second is, in the market where, you know, the transaction volume is very low, and when you look at the mess and things they did in the past, which was also not really successful, I think they have the problem to be the first move in the market. So I think this situation will also change. You know, when we'll see the transactions going up, then we will see the classical core money coming back. But our expectation is that it will take some time.
Thank you. Very interesting. And the second question.
The target GDV of acquisition, you know, we have targeted 2 billion for this and next year. With the 350 million mentioned, we have made the first step. I think it wouldn't be too optimistic to get to the first billion this year, but I think it always depends, you know, project by project. It could be less, it could be more. I don't want to make an exact guidance for this year, but what I want to say is that we have a significant portion of exclusivities where we easily could cover the 2 billion in total.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We now have a question from the line of Thomas Rothäusler from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. A couple of questions. The first is actually on the institutional deal you've just signed. Just wondering if you could elaborate a bit on the terms.
So, you know, we have here, that you have seen that we have not pointed out exactly where and what kind of project. So we have here an NDA. What I can say is that the gross yield is roughly at 4%. The starting gross yield is roughly 4%.
Okay.
and it's dedicated to, and this is also important, it's not social housing. So it's really a free financed project, no social housing, with a gross starting yield of 4%, which describes that we are satisfied with the result of it. I think the buyer can be satisfied too. It's a very, very good project, very nice location. So it's always good when both sides are positive.
So that should be the level we should expect also for the next deals.
I think it's in the ballpark. So I think it's a good indicator, which is a realistic approach, always depending on what is the social housing portion, etc. But I think that's a realistic multiplier.
Mm-hmm. Okay, helpful. The second question is on acquisitions. I mean, you speak of attractive acquisition opportunities. It sounds like you can do bargains.
Some problems with your line.
No, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. So we'll try it.
Okay.
So if not,
sorry.
No problem.
Yes, on acquisitions. I mean, you speak of acquisition opportunities. It sounds like you can do bargains in this market. Just wondering if you could elaborate on the terms, please, maybe in terms of land price compared to previous years. And as I understand, we should expect improved margins on these projects. Is this correct?
What we currently see is that we are, you with our, let's say, negotiation power, we are, you know, getting to 25% plus, yes. I don't want to be here, too optimistic for the couple next years, because, you know, when the market starts to work, then this has also an influence on prices. But what we currently see is that we are able to generate higher margins than the 25% as a target margin. Regarding the type of projects, we are focusing on two or three. the short-term oriented, the 350 million, I think, is a good indicator. So this is the result of this, let's say, focus. And the second type of projects are bigger projects where we are, you know, benefiting from the overall situation, the pressure in the market, where we can agree with the seller terms, where we are paying in face, always with a target of IRR being above 20%. And this is in our, let's say, current portfolio, easily achievable. So, an additional comment. In every project, a lot of work. So these are not really low-hanging fruits. It's a lot of work you have to invest because, you know, you have to change the design, maybe you have to discuss it with the municipality, et cetera, et cetera, because the former strategy of the project maybe was wrong, and now you have to, you know, you have to replace this through a strategy which works, and this takes time. So this is the reason why we are now seeing the results of it, of the big, let's say, work we have done. But that's the market. So Germany, you know, price correction very slow, and all the projects complex, all the projects have to be shaped, and this takes time.
Okay. The last question is on leverage. I mean, you indicate an increase basically on your increased acquisition activity. What level should we expect by next year when you should reach the 2 billion GDP, which you target to acquire?
So, we will, on the LTC level, move to above 30, but we will always stay below 40%. So we'll move into the region of 30%-40% on an LTC level. And in terms of net debt to EBITDA, there it depends a bit on where we end up in terms of our earnings pick up next year. Therefore, you know, to give you an exact number is difficult.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas.
We now have a question from the line of Manuel Martin from ODDO BHF. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, gentlemen. One question from my side, please. It's on financing conditions. Maybe you can give us a bit your impression on financing conditions in the market of project development. So what do you see for the sector? What do you see for Instone? And if the financing conditions evolve in a better way, do you think that purchasing opportunities could fade away as some of the for sellers could be saved through that?
So I think we have a very differentiated market still out there, Manuel. We have a lot of our competitors that are still not able to secure financing on the project level even, and not thinkable on the corporate level at all. So I think there, you know, it depends on who is asking for financing. We still see that we are able on every project finance to secure financing within, you know, the terms that we have seen in the past. So terms have not materially changed in terms of margins that we pay. So, you know, on the project finance, it has come down a bit. On the corporate side, the market is still difficult to generate, you know, attractive margins. We feel comfortable with our financing we have, but we also, you know, at the appropriate time, we'll be able to secure also financing on the corporate level again.
I think the interesting thing will be how long the banks are willing to prolong existing loans. I think this is something we are really looking at, because it could mean for us additional opportunities, investment opportunities in the market. I think what additionally could cause some trouble for the one or the other competitor is, you know, we are showing our results with a percentage of completion, which means that you have always, you know, the current situation showed by us. The competitors are mainly local GAAP, and they have shown still positive results because these projects have been sold in the past, and, you know, with completed contract model, you show very good results, but this overall situation is a different one. So we expect that many companies will make losses, and this will further bring in pressure on banks to think about the financing. So we will be very, I think it will be a very interesting time period in the next 6 to 12 months when you look at overall the developers in Germany.
Okay, thank you very much.
Welcome.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question comes from the line of Philipp Kaiser from Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. Congrats to the solid figures, and thanks for taking my question. Just starting with an understanding, one, with regards to your gross margin. You already elaborated that you expect a lower gross margin in the second half of the year, finally reaching the 23 overall. The same mechanism was last year, with also a very strong first half and then a lower second half. Is it just a coincidence, or is there a seasonality or mechanism behind those different half of the years?
Philip, I think that's a coincidence.
Okay, perfect. Thanks. Then my next one is on the retail sales business, which, accelerated further in the first half. Do you expect the business to further accelerate also in the second half of the year? And are there any bottlenecks you see which might dampen potential growth, either on the buyer side or on the project side?
So we are preparing another 5 projects into the sales start, and we are here absolutely in line with our, let's say, planning. So the projects are prepared by getting the building permit, etc. So therefore, there is no risk here.
Mm-hmm.
Regards overall capacities, etc. I think the market, when you look at, you know, the appetite of the buyers, is extremely strong. So the people, when they understand the scheme, they are all attracted. I think the demand is there, and we will, you know, find the buyers. Regards all the other capacities, I don't see here bottlenecks. So we are absolutely in plan here, and I see from this perspective more chances than risks.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, so it's also my thoughts on that. It definitely depends on the location or the region you look at, but it's kind of hard to get any such project. So if you would marketing 2 more or 3 more, you would definitely find buyers. It's kind of the right assumption. So it's like on the project side, it's kind of limited. The only kind of bottleneck you probably see, or it's hard to call bottleneck, but yeah. So if you would go into the market with more of these projects, you would definitely find even more buyers for that.
Maybe give you just two points to that. One, I think we already mentioned in the past, the highest taxpayers, number of people are more than 4 million in Germany. So, you know, we're only tapping so far a very limited part of those. And number two, I think, you know, the market awareness of this product is steadily increasing by us, you know, selling more. And I think the interest we notice is increasing. So I think rather than reaching a capacity ceiling, we will see quite a long time of where you see that the interest levels will increase because the awareness will increase.
I think additionally, what helps us when you look at the Duisburg project, why is Duisburg so, let's say, successfully launched? When you look at the 5,000 euros per square meter, we are able really to produce cheap, and this helps us now, where we can offer a product generating a decent margin, but also, let's say, offering a product in a price level where which is attracting the people to buy. So here we clearly have advantages in the competition to many others.
Okay, perfect. Thanks for that, crystal clear. And then with regards to your sales volume guidance of 500 million, based on this dynamic in the retail segment, is it fair to assume that it will end up a 50-50 split in sales volume, or will eventually, when all the Insti deals close, the Instis have a larger share of this more than 500 million?
I think the 50-50 could be quite a bit, let's say, more to the retail business. So we think that looking at overall traction, I think it could be also 60-40, 60% retail and 40% institutional.
Okay, perfect. And the last one is then with regards to the acquisition pipeline. So, I mean, there are still some variables out there, and you already secured 350 million GDV, talking about the 1 billion probably for each year. So is 150 million in just pure investment volume still a fair assumption for the time being?
Yes, as Kruno mentioned, I think, you know, prices, depending also on where we stand in terms of progress done on the building permit, vary between 10% and 20% of the GDV.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. All from my side. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Philipp.
We now have a question from the line of Thomas Rothäusler from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi. Just one follow-up, actually, on the tax incentive product. It almost sounds like you are the only player in the market able to offer ready product here. Is this right, or what would you say? How would you describe the competition there?
I think I wouldn't say that we are the only one who is offering the product. I think we will see more of this coming. And we, I think the, it's also related to the necessities to launch such a product. So, you know, in May last year, we have seen this change. But the QNG 40, which is necessary, this energy standard, all the developers needed time to reshape their design to this. Additionally, you need a building permit to start the sales for the buy-to-let investors, and this also needs time. So we will see more product coming, but clearly also influenced by, you know, overall financing situation. So, I think that there's a lot of, you know, or let's say there is a lot of developers who can't really finance the start of the construction. So we see here an influence by the overall financing situation, which helps us, of course, because we are able to get the financing, we are able to start the projects, we can start the construction, etc. So we have here further advantages in comparison to many of our competitors.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Thomas.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to turn the conference back over to Burkhard Sawatzki for any closing remarks.
Thank you for your participation. If you need further information, please do not hesitate to contact the Instone IR team. Many thanks. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you.